Let's see here. Okay, this is... Okay. Oh, you used to read the previous verse first. Okay, then. And then we go into... Okay, so that's the verse before this verse. Verse 10, I read that one. There's a tiny purport. Dice, Radha Gokulananda Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai Sri Sri Gonitai Ki Jai. This is a translation. That is the 10th verse 10. Once a woman selling fruit was calling, "Oh, inhabitants of Radha Bhumi, if you want to purchase some fruits, come here." Upon hearing this, Krishna immediately took some grains and went to barter as if he needed some fruits. Purport. Aborigines generally go to the villagers to sell fruits. How much the Aborigines were attached to Krishna is here described. Krishna, to show his favor to the Aborigines, would immediately go purchase fruit, bartering with paddy in his hand, as he had seen others others do. And then we get to text 11, and then we... Translation. While Krishna was going to the fruit vendor very hastily, most of the grains he was holding fell. Nonetheless, the fruit vendor filled Krishna's hand with fruits, and her fruit basket was immediately filled with jewels and gold. Hare Krishna. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita 9:26, Krishna says, "Patram puspam param toyam yomi bhaktya prayachati tadaham bhaktyu paritam asnami prayatatmanaha." Krishna is so kind that if anyone offers him a leaf, a fruit, a flower, or some water, he will immediately accept it. The only condition is that these things should be offered with bhakti. Yome bhaktya prayashati. Otherwise, if one is puffed up with false prestige, thinking, "I have so much opulence, and I'm giving something to Krishna," one's offering will not be accepted by Krishna. The fruit vendor or the woman belonging to the poor Aborigine class dealt with Krishna with great affection, saying, "Krishna, you have come to me to take some fruits in exchange for grains. All the grains have fallen, but still you may take whatever you like." Thus she filled Krishna's palms with whatever fruits he could carry. In exchange, Krishna filled her whole basket with jewels and gold. From this incident, one should learn that for anything offered to Krishna, with love and affection, Krishna can reciprocate many millions of times over, both materially and spiritually. The basic principle involved is an exchange of love. Therefore, Krishna teaches in Bhagavad Gita 9:27, "Yat karosi yat asnasi, yat yuhosi dadasi yat, yat tapasyasi kaunteya, tat kurushvamar arpanam." O son of Kunti, all that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, as well as all austerities that you may perform, should be done as an offering unto me. With love and affection, one should try to give something to Krishna for one's source of income, then one's life will be successful. Krishna is full in all opulences. He does not need anything from anyone. But if one is prepared to give something to Krishna, that is for one's own benefit. The example given in this connection is that when one's real face is decorated, the reflection of one's face is automatically decorated. Similarly, if we try to serve Krishna with all our opulences, we, as parts and parcels or reflections of Krishna, will become happy in exchange. Krishna is always happy, for he is Atmarama, fully satisfied with his own opulence. Om Aganati Miranda Shyagana Ganasalakya Shakshuran Manitam Yanatasmay Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Praya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Sri Mate Bhaktivedanta Swamtanamana Namaste Sarasvata Deve Gauravani Prachana Nirvisesa Sinivari Paskatyara Sattara. There was two verses. Krinihi bo palani ti srutva sattvaramachuta palarti danyam adaya yayo sarva pala prara palavikrayani tasya chuta danya karadvayam palair apurayad ratnai pala bandam apuri cha. Once a woman selling fruit was calling, "Oh, inhabitants of Rajabhumi, if you want to purchase some fruits, come here." Upon hearing this, Krishna immediately took some grains and went to barter as if he needed some fruits. While Krishna was going to the fruit vendor very hastily, most of the grains he was holding fell. Nonetheless, the fruit vendor filled Krishna's hands with fruits, and a fruit basket was immediately filled with jewels and gold. Wonderful. That's how to do it. Krishna. Offer to Krishna with love and devotion. Okay, so Krishna said in the small purport to the first verse that he did this. He took these grains because he have seen others do like that. So Krishna learned by observation. He was not told. He had observed. And then he think, maybe he actually wanted some fruit, so at least he was attracted. I want to do like the others, so like the adults. So he takes these grains. And that is beautiful. Then how, you know, he holding it, it's falling between his fingers, and he comes to the woman, and the woman is so captivated. And of course, we would be captivated if a child in that way, innocently coming, and you know, of course, you don't really get anything from the child, but what you get actually is a love and affection that your child gives in a way. So then would you not want to give? In general, we would like to give. Then it's like it's a natural, a child coming asking innocently or something. He will like to give. Adults, you know, they should take care of themselves, but the child. So this is beauty of Krishna here in his childhood pastime. He is okay. Then it's explained there. Okay, so that point that he's seen others, that is mentioned in the purport here, and I remember reading it in the Krishna book also, Prabhupada puts it that way, that he's seen how they're doing. So then, but then the miracle happens. And of course, that doesn't happen nowadays. Maybe it does. Okay, so the miracle happens that, well, she says, okay, hey, you take, what do you want? You know, you're giving him, we know there's a nice picture there, the lady sitting. And then, of course, he has mentioned these Aborigines ladies. I don't know really what it is. So there's some people living in the forest, but Krishna is already living in the forest. That he tells, and I've noted very carefully. He tells his father, when the father is going to, Nanda Maharaj is going to make this sacrifice, he has his argument with his father why he shouldn't make that sacrifice to satisfy Lord Indra. He should, you know, what's the point? What's the waste of time, you know, make a sacrifice for Indra? And then he concludes, he has his argument, some Karmakanda philosophy. Then he says, well, in any case, we're not living in the towns, cities, or villages. Where are they living? Is that in the forest? In the forest and on the hills, that's where we're living. That's one verse. Krishna says that. So then, of course, here is Aborigines women. They're also living in the forest and on the hills. For me, it's a little bit. Where is the differentiation? Where does the border go? But if you're living in the forest, so then this Aborigines woman, so where did she pick the fruit? So in the forest. So they went to the forest, picked some fruits, and go to the village and say, here's some fruits for sale. Because that was a very wonderful forest. That's how a forest should be. Because it's a forest full of fruits, and flowers and nuts and all kind of things. That's how forests should be, and maybe how they were. And we know we're in a very unfortunate times because there's no more forests. At least not much here. And even less in Vrindavan, where all the 12 forests, and there is walking in the forest of Vrindavan, and it's all cut down. Sorry, it's sad, in a way. And in England, I was told here that there was a saying that you could go from, I think it was from London to Scotland, not touching the ground. You could just climb on trees and branches and carry it over like that. So this was a country full of trees and forest. And we know about Robin Hood. He was living in some forest. Nottingham Forest, okay. Nottingham Forest. That was real times. And then Ireland was full of forest. It got cut down by the imperialists, those who want to have control of everything, because people who live in the forest, it's very difficult to control them, because, you know, they have everything they need. If you have everything you need, how are you going to control them, you know, because you can't really blackmail them or oppress them, because they already have everything. You know, if you don't give us, you know, whatever, something, we will not give you this, but they already have everything because they're living in the good forest, in the good forest of the old times. So even here, the forest was something very good, very special. In Sweden, in Estonia at least also, they used to call this forest poor man's jacket, poor man's jacket or coat or pullover. If you were poor and really had nothing, then you went to the forest. And then you could cut some branches and trees maybe and make some hut there and, you know, find something to eat if you really need it. So that was not so long time ago. So that's the good forest. So the forest of Vrindavan. So the Aborigines lady, she goes there and picks fruits and goes. Maybe she's thinking, oh, I go to Vrindavan. There is this Krishna. So, you know, if I go and sell fruits there, maybe see Krishna. That's my speculation, okay. That sounds good. Quite possible. She had a small thought, you know, and I come there, maybe I see Krishna. So Krishna reciprocates, and he comes and says, with his hand full of grains that's falling through his hands. Okay, we can see that Krishna, he has a hand full of grains. So where did the grains come? So they were doing some agriculture growing. So in any case, so the woman got fully fulfilled her desire to sell fruits to see Krishna. Maybe she had a desire to see Krishna, because we know from the story about the Brahmin's wives how they were so anxious to see Krishna just because they heard about Krishna. So the rumors about Krishna is spreading in all directions, rumors or the information about Krishna. Specifically, maybe the women meeting by the well, they're talking about this Krishna. How wonderful he is in various ways. So the Aborigines woman had heard something, so that she comes to Vrindavan and going to sell fruits, and then Krishna comes innocently and offers some grains that is not really there anymore. So, of course, then Prabhupada quotes there from 9th chapter, Bhagavad Gita, Patram Puspam Palam Tuyam, Yomi Bhakta Prayashatir. If an offer me with love and devotion, a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, I will accept it. Krishna doesn't, he does simply say, I will accept it. That's what he says. You know, I will accept it. If it's offered with love and devotion. He doesn't say that it will fill your basket with jewels, okay? But he did that with the woman here. So interesting, Krishna. Why he gives this favor to this woman? Does she need gold and jewelry? Well, maybe she does. But does it happen to us also? Maybe it does, just in a different way. We could also say Krishna gives. Well, he accepted. He accepted the woman's offer, and he rewarded her with gold and jewels. We could also say the what do you call that? The way Krishna pays. Okay, the way Krishna pays. He maybe don't give us material opulence, but he may give us spiritual opulence, love of Krishna. If by us giving, I mean, that is already some act of love, and then there is a fulfillment, there's a reciprocation, so there is a loving exchange, and that is what we're looking for. So if you get that, that is certainly a spiritual opulence. It's actually to get physical gold and jewels. Well, Prabhupada says in the purport, Krishna rewards materially and spiritually. Because we, in one sense, we're already blessed materially here. Some of you at least, staying at Bhaktivedanta Manor. We're living in a manor. How many people are living in a manor? And if you're not living in the manor, you're living somewhere nearby and comes and visit. You know, how many gets ever to taste a rasgulla made at Bhaktivedanta Manor? You know, we were blessed. Of course, there is some austerity. There is some austerity, but it's a fairly small austerity. Because others maybe have their flats, and maybe the poor devotees also living, so say, outside. Having their flats where they can, you know, enjoy life. But you can't just enjoy life without paying anything. You have to pay something to stay in the flat or enjoy the benefits of modern civilization. But then maybe we can go on welfare. Well, I don't know how it works nowadays, but you go to welfare, then you have to go to the welfare people and maybe make up a story. I don't know if you make up a story, but explain how poor you are, so you need help. So then you have also to do something. So you always have to do something. Krishna. So we do something for Krishna. Well, I have to do something also. I have to speak. That is also some kind of sacrifice. I mean, I have to apply my intelligence or whatever. You know, that's activate. You know, you can't just sit down lazy all day. Not all day. So there is always something. There's a take and there's a give. And we can say that's reciprocation. So ultimately, in one sense, everything already comes from Krishna. So we can say all the opulence of the world is coming from Krishna. He's coming from Mother Earth. I mean, and then the people work like cats and dogs and transform it into something so-called useful, useless or useful. Good when they make potato chips, and then they make other chips that you can't eat. Prabhupada said you can't eat bolts and whatever, bolts and nuts, screws, whatever. So Krishna is already giving, actually Krishna is already giving everything. What do we have? This microphone is Krishna allowed it to manifest. Because then we think it's I've made it. I don't know, we didn't make it. We humans. Okay, now we take it and give it back to Krishna. We use it in Krishna's service. And that way we become blessed. Krishna is pleased and Krishna, we become blessed. Hopefully with spiritual opulence. So the challenge is to offer with love and devotion. Okay, here is, of course, this beautiful thing. That there's this forest, and there's a village, and there's Aborigines lady coming with fruit. Because if she's such an Aborigines, you don't have really a farm or anything. It sounds like that to me. You just pick some fruits and goes, sells in the town. You could do it also. you go by the somewhere by the side of the meadow and pick some flowers, make some nice bouquets, sit down in the street and sell, and people are doing that. So in that way, the challenge is to offer with love and devotion, the fruit of flower, fruit of water. Krishna will accept. And you will be opulent. Here is a small thought. What does it mean to offer with love and devotion? Well, you make sure. You want to make sure. I see. Radha Gokananda Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Gonitai Ki Jai. You want to make sure if you really love someone, you're going to give the best. You're going to give the best. So if you're going to give a fruit, that's my point. No, this is my point. If you can grow it yourself, it's better. Prabhupada said that. I think Prabhupada said that. Somewhere mentioned. If you grow something else and offer it to Krishna, it's 100 times more valuable. So like offering one apple you grow yourself is like offering 100 apples in one stroke. Now, a good fruit tree or fruit, you have to get a plant, you have to get a tree, you have to plant the tree, make sure it gets nice facilities. Or you get carrots or whatever. Yesterday I saw, I don't know if it was carrots and seeding and whatever, planting. So then what is a good seed? Buy it in the shop. What is the best seed? Well, actually, even better is if you make the seed yourself. So that way, and then you take the seed, carrots and red beets and whatever it is go into fruition, and then there are seeds, and then you plant with the seeds. So then it increases the more you put into it yourself, in one sense, more sacrifice you put into it, in one sense, more, we can say, love is there in it. So, okay, Krishna. So we want to give with love. Of course, then you get it back as prasadam, high quality prasadam. So we all, it's like you have a baby. Okay, this baby, Krishna. So mother has a baby, What is the best I can give or can afford for my child? So, like, parents want that. My child should go in the best school. Well, the child should have the best food. Krishna should have the best food. And then, in one sense, here the face being decorated, then your reflection will also be decorated. So, Krishna, we want to offer something good to Krishna, then, well, we get prasadam, and then we will get good quality. Good quality prasadam. Yes, because it's good quality because there's a lot of love put into it to making it. And then we will stay more healthy and have a clearer brain, mind, to serve Krishna with. So, of course, Prabhupada says here, and someone is puffed, and you know, I have so much wealth, I'm going to give. I'm going to show them at Bhaktivedanta Manor. Yeah. Well, there's this story about in the Christian, in the Bible, New Testament, I think Christ uses an example. There is, he's in the in the courtyard, he's in the temple room in Jerusalem. I think it's in Jerusalem also. And then there comes this rich man. He comes, okay, look here what I give. You know, in donation box. You know, that donation box also. It's very Vedic. And he's giving, you know, just see what I'm giving. And then there's the coming, the poor Aborigines woman. Poor woman, and gives her small coin. So then Christ, or good Christ, who we just has been celebrated by the Christians, by the good Christians. Okay, then he said, well, who something like, whose offering was more pleasing? So he said, well, the old woman's offering. She gave the most. And why did she give most? Because she gave everything she had. That was all she had, and that she gave. But the rich man gave, but he had so much more in the home, stashed. So you know, so we can say the poor woman gave more. Because she had nothing more to give. She gave everything. And we have to watch out here. When I was a bhakta, we used to say that, you know, Krishna doesn't look at what you give, but he looks at what you hide, what you keep for yourself. Ultimately, Krishna wants full love, full surrender. So, you know, giving everything. Because I'm giving everything. Then we can frantically try to give everything. But it doesn't maybe necessary we have to frantically do so much. But then we can also give everything. We can put all intent. Let's say we put all intention in offering one excellent flowers to Krishna. To really put our attention on that, God, I could think that putting our attention, saying, giving one good class, or you know, or just manage one temple or something, you know, doing it excellently. So in that way, you maybe don't have to do so much, but you, or we maybe don't, in one sense, don't have to do so much, but we have to do it with love, with affection, with attention, full concentration. As also said in deity worship, well, in deity worship, as once some time ago I was pujari and reading Nectar of Devotion was great. Well, there was one point, I think, as I remember, there is made a point that, and that sounds interesting in a way, is that one shouldn't accept more service than or service, or than what one can. There it was said, easily perform, and that sounds like easily perform. But actually, the reality is, if in attempt to please Krishna, you know, take so much on that we can't really do it nicely, it maybe not be such a good, so pleasing. So better take what you can take, digest it nicely, and do a nice seva for Krishna. So, what we easily can do, of course, then this woman, well, it's easy. You go into the forest and pick some various flowers and you give it to Krishna. That's easy. But with love, with affection. Of course, because we could also say we try sometimes chanting japa, we say, I'm going to chant one round nicely. Well, if we could just say one mantra nicely, you know, I mean, with the statement is that if you just once say Hare Krishna, you know, your life is perfect. So one says you actually don't need more than one mantra. But in order to say the one mantra good, you may have to chant the whole round. To do one round good or whatever, you may have to chant many rounds. And my experience is sometimes I have chanted a little bit more. And then actually, by chanting more, actually the chanting at that time has got better. It's more likely that you, whatever, okay, something happens. If you do something more. But we can say, for what reason? And that was maybe said here, what reason? Is it to please Krishna or to just show off? Show off. Okay, then again, with the rich man coming and giving, are you doing it to show off or to actually please Krishna? So that's a challenge here, because now we are sitting in Bhaktivedanta Manor, and that's great. But it could be that we get into, I'm just speculating for myself. Well, one comes into a trap and thinks, okay, I'm going to, you know, everyone sees me. I have to show off. This way or that way. Yeah. But of course, this way or that way, offer to Krishna. Surrender to Krishna, whatever drives us. But then we get purified, and then it's not really important if society, friendship and love, if these factors recognize us. The important is that Krishna recognizes us. And then everything else is irrelevant in one sense. Of course, how do we know? How do you know? Well, you will experience. I mean, the Dabaridinin here, she got recognized by Krishna. That's, you know, she got opulence. Someone like Kulavecha Sridhar, he was in Chaitanya Leela. I mean, he's worrying. He's his Vaishnava, if he's a Brahmana, but he's selling these banana leaves cups. And, you know, very humbly serves. And then, of course, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes and disturbs him. You know why? Well, something like that. There was this jar with water, okay? Something that he used, Kulavecha Sridhar, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and wanted to drink from that, and then argue about the prices of the things and asking. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appreciated. Actually, that was his way of reciprocating the devotion of Kulavecha Sridhar, who used half of his little income, to worship the Ganga. And the other half, whatever, for what he needed. So in that way, let's give one flower, one fruit, one lifetime. Just one lifetime. Nicely for Krishna. Or maybe give one day, 1 year, 1 week for Krishna, let's say. That's in a way. One lifetime. Hare Krishna. There was a point was that... getting back, because I have to encourage you in self-sufficiency and cow-protection and these things. I thought, actually maybe happens also. If you offer nicely to Krishna, you actually may get rich also. There was this one Prabhu at our farm in Sweden, and he just thought, oh, the greenhouse is standing and it's not being used. Let's use it and grow something for Panchatattva. So he started off like that, as an offering to Krishna to grow some vegetables and like that. And we got to the kitchen and, you know, very nice. But very quickly, he produced more than what could be consumed. And then someone said, well, you know, there's a marketplace in town. I'm going there. You can come with them. We can sell the vegetables also along the bread I'm selling. As he started to sell the vegetables. And then he ended up having his own stand. I was selling vegetables, and then maybe he ended up being the most well-to-do member of the community there. But it started off with a thought, let's grow something for Krishna. So Krishna reciprocated. And he works hard. When it's season, he works hard. But when it's off-season, November, December, January, he has a good time, goes to India, and he can take his wife and kids with him, no problem. They can spend a month or two or three in India and just chant and study, and actually he got into like that. So that's an opposite. I mean, in one sense, you know, it maybe just in a different way, you know, that Krishna can reward you. But from the point of, let me do it for Krishna. And that's maybe the trick. Whatever we do, that's also yad kurosi yad asnasi here, this. Let's do it for Krishna. It's a sacrifice for Krishna. And then Krishna can just say, okay, nice. Let's be rich. I'll be spiritually rich. Okay, Hare Krishna. Any question or comment?